This is GQDN for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. Brought to you today by Audible. Go get your free credit. audibletrial.com/thegroupquest. By swiftenergy.gg. Go get those drink mixes. Very good stuff. When you do that, put in the promo code QUEST in the checkout line, and you will get 25% off of your purchase. Yummy, 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 yummy stuff. By patreon.com/thegroupquest. Lots of content up there, guys. And there's a lot of content in our Discord, too. And by stackup.org. Great, great community. Now, today, we do talk about a little bit of Power World. Games that are leaving both Game Pass and PlayStation. And maybe some Fallout news. Fallout 5? We'll see. But we begin today, since the news is all over the place today, with a PlayStation at the beginning. And Eurogamer did say that when the PlayStation 5 Pro comes out, some of the labels will be enhanced. Now, that's what Eurogamer is essentially saying. What they're thinking is that PlayStation could run games at 60 FPS with ray tracing, along with a 4K resolution, with the, quote, PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution technology, end quote. And that's what they're saying what should happen. But The Verge, according to them, did think that the PlayStation 5 Pro, quote, enhanced, end quote, could offer some lower frame rates. And that's if they offer a boosted maximum resolution for the Pro in comparison to the regular PlayStation 5. But Sony did also say that the enhanced label will not be applied, but you can still see some of the resolution changes in comparison from PlayStation 5 Pro to PlayStation 5. Now, there was a video that was posted by the YouTube channel Moore's Law is Dead, but that was taken offline because of copyright from Sony itself. But the video showed the actual PlayStation 5 Pro development documents from Sony, where they did not like that at all. So when it does come out, we'll see, or when it gets closer to the release, we'll know more about the specs for it. Now, I wouldn't swear about that, though. Kotaku did say that Overwatch 2 players are getting banned because they're swearing, and the players were not happy about it. So, all this started on April 12th, when on Twitter, the user Derpy82 did post a tweet, and they were asking for a response from Blizzard's customer service account about being banned from the Overwatch 2 account. And the user did attempt to use Blizzard's native customer service features to figure out why they were banned. But it was only just an automated response that claimed the ban was in accordance with the terms of use and the in-game policies. So when he was pressed for the specifics, the user received the same response again. So here's what he said on Twitter. This is Dupree, direct quote. Can I get a human to respond to my ticket, please? And Blizzard CS did respond, quote, from what we can see, the account has been suspended for inappropriate language. I see the F word and the SH word in there as well. Now, Kotaku did say that in the code of conduct did say that, quote, you may not use language that could be offensive or vulgar to others. So one of the users said that Blizzard should be banning the people who use slurs and death threats over people using profanity. And the customer service account responded and was now a deleted tweet, quote, then report them, Joy. And that was not received very well. Albert Ye at YEHHH on Twitter did say, quote, did Blizzard hire a bunch of youth pastors to run the Blizzard CS account? Why are they so concerned about policing people for saying F and S in Overwatch, and all of a sudden there are more than enough people dropping slurs, being weird in the match, for you to keep your jobs? Daniel Fenner on Twitter did say, quote, so if you read through this thread, Blizzard have confirmed that you're no longer allowed to curse in-game our voice comes. If you say F or S, even in non-aggressive manner, then you will be banned if someone decides to report you. And he did quote Blizzard CS, where they said, quote, "No, the filter is for those who wish to use it, but profanity has never been allowed in our games. If reported, absolutely actionable." Now, that has been in place, but it has not been executed until now. It was being executed when it was first in place, but not this aggressively. So they had to back up a bit. Beep, beep. But that's what's going on with Overwatch. Now, we get to a game for which I play. GamesRadar did say that about 4 months later, the Power World CEO did say that the Genshin Impact level clones could have an incredible, or could be incredible, with the budgets 10 times larger. So yeah, that's the Pocket Pair CEO, Takaro Mizobi. He did share his thoughts on the Power World clones in development lately, and that would come after Tencent, or that would come after Tencent owned Tianjin Wumi Technology, who did publish a Steam page for the sandbox game Auroria. Now Auroria does have its own unique elements, but it has many elements that could really look at Pal World, and both games will feature catchable creatures, crafting, and designing a base in an open world survival MMO. Now Auroria will be coming to PC in the fourth quarter of this year, but it might not be the only Power World clone that Tencent might be working on now, so we shall see what happens. But Mr. Auroria did get to Twitter and said, quote, "Tencent is already making a Power World clone game. In China, many companies said simultaneously developing mobile clones of Power World, and the budgets are 10 billion yen range, 10 times larger than Power World's. Next year, we might see many Genshin Impact level creature or Bishojo raising games. These are incredible times." Yeah, we'll see what happens. Speaking of PC gaming, the PC Gaming Show is returning Sunday, June 9th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And that will have 50 games, and they have world premieres to it with a bunch of announcements and some developer interviews. This will be the 10th anniversary of the show. And that'll be on youtube.com/PCGamer and twitch.tv/PCGamer. Well, what could be there? Well, Bilibili did say that they were promising, quote, "a packed roster of reveals, celebrations, and surprises," end quote. Now, Jake Tucker, that's the editorial director of the PC Gaming Show, also said, quote, "A lot has changed in PC gaming since our first show in 2015. It's more mainstream and popular than ever, and each year brings new breakout hits. I'm excited to take the helm on a show I've loved for years, and can't wait to share a host of great games with the audience this summer. Expecting some big reveals and new content for your favorite games and a celebration what has been a golden decade for PC games." So what could be there? Well, I wouldn't expect Fallout 5. GamesRadar.com did say that, yes, the TV show is going on and doing pretty well, from what I've heard, and I will check that out when I'm on vacation, but the current estimates could possibly see some Fallout 5 in 2030? Yes, that could happen, because one of the Bethesda veterans, Emil Pagliaro, sorry about butchering the name, was asked why it takes so much time to make the Bethesda game with Elder Scrolls 6 and Starfield, which was in development for most of the decade. But the next Fallout game might not come out until the 2030s. So why is it taking so much time? That's what GamesRadar did ask. And they gave the short answer, where there is no short answer. Because the developer did say that the time frames, quote, "are not specific to any of our games. And that could be for many different reasons, such as Starfield, because they were taking a look at, quote, updating and developing tech. But the idea could be the tech can be used again in the future." And developer also did say that the team, quote, "paused for a bit to assist with Fallout 76. So Fallout 76 may have gotten gotten into the way of Fallout 5's development, but there's still no guarantee of a release date. So the developer did say, quote, "It always comes down to the most important resource of all people. As with any dev team, we have talented folks who need time to make great stuff. So we can't do everything at once." Now we hit the esports corner, and the esports World Cup is now over $60 million. That's the prize pool. That's according to esportsinsider.com. So all these games will be in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and they'll have a prize pool of $60 million. So the Esports World Cup Foundation revealed that the prize pool will be divided into four segments. Club Championship, $20 million. Game Championships, $30 million. Qualifiers, $7.6 million. And the MVP Awards, $1.1 million. So Ralph Reichert, CEO of the Esports World Cup Foundation, did say, quote, "Setting the record for the largest esports prize pool is a remarkable achievement, but what I am most proud of is the positive message that sends wider esports and gaming community. More than $60 million is a testament to our investment in the future global esports, a commitment to esports fans who deserves accessible events, and an extension to our mission to create meaningful competitive opportunities with life-changing prize pools for esports athletes everywhere," end quote. But what did they think about Apex Legends? Well, Saudi Arabia did say that they won't censor the game. Nope. According to Eurogamer, Apex Legends developer Respawn did tell its fans it will not change the game to block certain characters and cosmetics that will be displayed and played in the Esports World Cup this summer. And that is despite the concerns another country might censor the Battle Royale diverse character roster. So why would they do that? Well, Saudi Arabia is against LGBTQ. So that essentially is why. And some of the characters in Apex Legends are that. So yes, people were talking about that. And people were very frustrated about having the World Cup in Saudi Arabia. But that be that. Now we get to some video games, and these games are leaving. There's a lot too. Let's start with Xbox Game Pass. GameSpot did say that six games are leaving Game Pass. I'll give you the dates too. 7 Days to Die, April 30th. Besiege, April 30th. EA Sports NHL 2024, April 30th. Loot River, April 30th. Pikniku, whatever, April 30th. Ravenlock, April 30th. But PlayStation did one better. PushSquare.com did say that they got 25 games leaving PlayStation Plus. And I'm only going to give a few of them because there's a lot. Abzu, Last Stop, Monster Jam Steel Titans 2, Final Fantasy 9, Final Fantasy 8 Remastered, Final Fantasy 15 Royal Edition, and Final Fantasy X to HD Remaster. And they will be leaving on May 21st, so a little over a month from now. So if you want any one of those games, and ones I did not mention, better go get them. Go get them. But if you got a handheld, yeah. GamesRadar did say that Tomb Raider could be coming to the Super Pocket. And Super Pocket, they're saying, is one of the best gaming handhelds that's out there now. And you might be able to buy a physical collection of the retro games with that handheld. And that would include Tomb Raider, the original, the one that started it all. We didn't start it. Nope. This has been a Dawnforge production 2024. All rights are reserved. We'll see you tomorrow for more news, so go play some games, people.